2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. But you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecution, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continuing the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Let's pray. We do thank you, Father, that you have shown us this great love, that your Son died to forgive us of our sins so that we might have hope. And I pray, Lord, that we would not allow that hope to be useless, but that we would prepare ourselves to bring glory into your holy name by broadcasting the good news to those around us. Thank you, Father, for leaving this word for us. And I pray, Father, that we would just let it sink into our hearts, that we would understand your word and be able to use it to bring glory into your holy name. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So last week, we read about Paul's warning about false brethren. We must ever be on our alert, because there are those who are out there who are trying to put on a religious face, but really, their life is all about themselves. They are wicked in their behaviors, and they are wicked in their motivations. In our passage today, Paul is seeking to remind Timothy of the responsibility to live an upright life, to live a life that's mirroring or based on the image of Christ. And for us to grow to be like Christ, the most important tool that we have in our arsenal for this task is the Word of God. God did not just save men and then set them adrift in the world to live in whatever evil they encounter. But God has left for us His commandments and His guidelines in this Word as a means of growing to be like Christ. And we would do well in our lives to spend as much time as we can in reading and studying and meditating upon the Word of God. This is God's Word to man, and it is our means of victory in this evil and adulterous generation. Let's look at our text this morning, beginning with verse 10. But you follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and suffering, such as happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. So, Paul has just talked about the men that are going to cause lots of difficulties in life. And instead of looking to them for an example on how to live, Paul says, you, those who are members of the true church, look at me. Look what's happened in my life. We know that there's going to be false members of the church, and they are going to be those who are going to get off track with Christ because they are following after those false members of the church. So we, as the true church, need to be ever vigilant in our efforts to live for Jesus, to understand what God has called us to, and incorporate godly behaviors into our life. And so Paul lists these. We need to follow him in his teaching, in the things that God has taught Paul and Timothy and has taught us as we study the Word of God. And we are to have our conduct be correct. We have Jesus as our example of how to live a godly life, how to be obedient to God. That is the kind of conduct that we should present to the world in and through our life. We have a purpose. We are disciples of Christ. Therefore, our goal is to give glory unto God. So, regardless of where you're at or what you're doing, your purpose is to bring glory unto God. Now, sometimes that's more difficult than others because we encounter people that are annoying, but if we keep that in the back of the mind, then we can complete some of these other tasks that he lists in this group here as well. We are to have faith. Paul has shown his faith in so many ways. As we study through the New Testament, you see Paul's life and how it unfolded. And Paul, we think of Paul as a successful missionary. We think of all the different places that he went and all the different churches that he started. And I agree that he is successful. And he wrote these marvelous texts that we study and understand as the Word of God. But Paul had to have a lot of faith. He went to this church and proclaimed the Word of God, got it started, and the Jews chased him out of town. He went to another town and started a church and had faithful people and a good following, and the Jews chased him out of town. He goes and faithfully ministers, and the Roman government gets mad at him and imprisons him. There's just time after time after time. What we would find very disconcerting and probably give up, Paul trusted God, went to the next place, and proclaimed the Word of God in the next place. He says we are to develop patience. We live in a hostile world, a world that is hostile toward God and is hostile toward God's people. And so we just need to be prepared for persecution from unbelievers and failure from those who claim to be Christ, and just be patient, waiting for God to glorify those who are faithful to him. We are to love the way that God has shown love to us. Love is the modifier that shapes our thoughts, our motivations, and our actions. Perseverance. This is one of the big things for Christians, that we learn that, yes, we are going to be persecuted. The world hates us, and we're going to be going against the flow of the world. And so we're going to encounter trials, and so we need to be like Dory the fish in that movie. Just keep on swimming. Keep on swimming. Keep on swimming. That's what we're supposed to do. We're going to encounter problems. Just keep on swimming. Keep going. We're going to encounter persecutions. It's not, we shouldn't expect that there's going to be a fair fight with the world. The world really is out to destroy us, and they don't care what lies and what are the things that are told. They're going to persecute us. There's going to be sufferings. We are God's, and he has promised to see us through these sufferings, but that doesn't mean that we're going to be able to avoid all the unpleasantness and all the different difficult circumstances we're going to have to face. And then Paul uses an example of Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions he faced there. And you have to go elsewhere in Scripture, in Romans and in Corinthians, to find out about some of that. Look in Acts, you can find his dealings that he did there. But he just basically was time and again faced controversy and danger and even death in most of those places and some kind of physical torment. But yet he says, I endured. And that's the whole thing, that we endure. Now, what Paul was telling Timothy about and describing to him, it wasn't theory. He lived the life. In fact, he's got a really long, nice list there in his letter to the church at Corinth about the things that he suffered. You know, just horrendous things that most of us would be discouraged and give up about. Paul lived through it. So Paul's able to say to Timothy, you know what? Not everything's going to be great in your ministry, but live through it. Just keep going. Keep doing what God has called you to do. You know, even when Paul was writing this instruction to Timothy, more than likely he was in prison. He was in jail. And I'm not talking about our prisons that have all the nice cable TV and weight rooms and things like that. We're talking about dark, dank dungeons where you're probably lucky to be fed and watered. But he lived through it. He endured because the Lord delivered him. Paul's strength was not his own, was not anything other than that he recognized that God had called him to be a minister and that God had said, I'm going to take care of you and bring you through the other end of whatever persecution and trial you face. And so Paul used God as his hope and his strength, just as we are too. When we're in the midst of trials, it's really difficult to see the end. But always, always we remember that God has not forgotten us in our circumstances. God is going to continue to direct our lives so that he will be glorified in the things that are accomplished through our ministry. Verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So this, he's not talking about a possibility here or a theory, but he's talking about this is going to happen. If we are faithful to live like God has called us to live, then there's going to be a moment of persecution in our life or just a time when the world is going to try to disrupt us and get us off track. It is a reality, not a possibility. So, but that's not to stop us. That's the reason why Paul's writing these things. Hey, if you're living a godly life, you're going to be persecuted. Jesus said that. If they treat me bad, they're going to treat you bad. Well, I think the evidence of the New Testament is that they treated Jesus bad. So I guess that means that we're going to be treated bad. Expect it. Go through it. Verse 13. Evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So the common or the natural course of life is that, you know, we begin to compromise or others begin to compromise, other false teachers get involved, and they at first are very close to what we would call true Christianity. But those who are on the wrong path are going to continue to get more and more offline, more and more wicked, more and more evil. They're going to try harder and harder to deceive those around them and try to get them to go their direction. So they are going to get from bad to worse as far as deceiving is concerned. But kind of the glimmer of light in this is that they're not just deceiving others. The unintended consequence of their choice to deceive the church and to seek their own way is that in their deceiving of others, they're also deceiving themselves about the truth and about their true need, that they need a Savior, that they need Jesus to be the Lord of their life. Verse 14. You, however, this is you, church. You, however, continue in the things you have learned, become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So, Timothy had an advantage over others. His life had been steeped in the truth of God's word. And so Paul encourages him to continue on that path and to grow in his faith and in the proper behavior of a child of God. I had the privilege of growing up in a home where my parents wanted you to go to church and expected you to go to church. So from childhood, I heard all this stuff. Some of it sunk in, some didn't quite so much. But the fact of the matter is, that's a great advantage to, from childhood, to have understood what the Word of God has said and to have had the sacred writings of God to at least tell you what the right direction was, whether you followed it or not. So we need to take advantage of that situation and continue to grow, that we would live to glorify God and rejoice in the hope of our salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. See, this is the gospel message right there that Paul's talking to Timothy about, that here is salvation. We have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to be obedient to him and die on the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood for our sin, that we might have life if we place our hope and trust and faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't get any simpler than that. Trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. And then we come to these last two verses here in this chapter. They are so powerful and so inspiring for us as we study the Word and we meditate upon it. This is our encouragement of why we're studying the Word and why we're meditating upon it. First of all, verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God. And actually, I like the Greek a lot better. I'm not quite sure why they translated it the way they did in most texts, but that word, where this translation says inspired by God, that word actually means God breathed. God spoke the Scriptures. The God of all creation, the Lord God Almighty, who is sovereign, who's above all things, that God spoke to man. And we have it as our Bible, as the sacred Scripture. He had a message for us so that we would listen and we would be his people. And so the very first thing we need to recognize is how important the Word of God is. It's God breathed. It's God speaking to us. And God will certainly, as we make an effort and are diligent to study the Word of God and think about the Word of God, it will be profitable for us. It will be profitable. It's of great benefit to those who study it and believe it. It's profitable for teaching. So it helps us to form an understanding about who God is and what God demands of man. You know, and there's way more than that in there. It's not just about how we can live under God's requirements, but there's all kinds of stuff in there. If you want to understand economy better, you want to understand how you should prepare and deal with your finances, man, there's all kinds of stuff in the Word of God about how you can be successful by being faithful to God with your riches, with your material goods. It's not your material goods anyway, it's God's. He's the one that gave them to you, but if you want to know more about it, that's how. You want to know how to have a happier life in marriage? It's in there. Somewhere in the Word of God, you can look and study and look at the instruction that's given there to make you happier in the things that you do. You want to know how to be successful in your business and in your work? It's in there. It tells you how to be a faithful servant toward those who are your master. So even though it is primarily about religious things, just regular walks of life are included in the Word of God to tell us how to be successful as we go about those things. It's profitable to us, great benefit to those who are studying and believe it, and it teaches us life and life abundantly. It's also profitable for reproof. It is a declaration of our failures to live as God has demanded. It doesn't take much to figure out when you can look at the Word of God and it says you're not supposed to do this, that that's a bad course of action. And so it's profitable for to declare to us, hey, this behavior is a failure. You should not do that behavior. It's also profitable for correction. Okay, so I've gotten off track. I've done things I'm not supposed to do. I don't see how I can get through this thing. Well, God's Word tells us how to get through those things. The simple explanation is repent and turn to God. But there's more in the Word of God that will help us to correct those behaviors. Here we failed in that area, we've fallen in that area, we're weak in that area, and God can bring us back to a position of closeness to Him if we would just read the Word of God and follow what the Word of God says about those behaviors. It is profitable for training in righteousness. Just basically shows us what we should do and what we should not do. It's very clear. We can save a lot of trouble in our lives if we would just read the Word of God, and the Word of God says, don't do this, well, don't do it. Or the Word of God says, if you want to be successful, do this. Okay, then do that. It's profitable for training in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So that the man of God, those who wish to be like Christ, those who want to really be an active part of the family of God, the church of God, if you will use the word, teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that you would be adequate. Better word, maybe complete. Want to be a true disciple of Christ? Look in the Word of God. It tells you how to be a disciple of Christ. It tells you how to have the right attitude when you're going about your life. It tells you what motivations you should have as you go about your life. It tells you how you should behave so that you can navigate this world as successful as possible. If you really want to be a child of God, the Word of God can make you ready to serve and bring glory unto God by reading it, studying it, following it. It equips you for every good work. We can't really, like anything else, you just can't expect right stuff to happen to you. But you can develop the tools that are necessary to live and serve in a godly life. The Word of God equips us so that we can do the things that we should do to bring glory unto God and give us a full, peaceful, enjoyable life by following God. Timothy was encouraged by Paul here that he might be a true person of God. God is building an army. Elsewhere, Peter writes about being a people after his own possession. Do you want to be a people that just does your thing, or do you want to be God's people? That's kind of a decision we have to make. But I can tell you that being a part of the family of God, God has promised blessings for those who are His people. And we will see those blessings as we faithfully live for Him. And we can look in the Word of God and find those blessings. And then we can look at the Word of God and use that Word to prepare us to be a people after His own possession, to be a soldier of the cross, to be the family of God. I encourage you, church, to avail yourself to this wonderful resource of hope and blessing, which is called the Holy Scripture, the Word of God. Let's pray. Almighty Father, we thank You. We just thank You. You're so wonderful to us and have blessed us with so many blessings. And I pray, Lord, that we would not neglect such a great hope that you have given us, not neglect the resources that you have provided for us in your word. Help us to be a people of the word of God, that you would be glorified, that we would be encouraged and strengthened, that we might endure the battles of the world so that the church might prevail. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.